We have all experienced someone telling us they saw someone who looked exactly like us. Most of the times it was just a lookalike, right? Except, of course, if it was an actual double, an exact copy of yourself. So what if you're the one seeing your own double? But most importantly, what does it mean?
What you're about to listen goes beyond imagination and logic. From the thing under your bed, to the shadows lurking around it. This is a world melted beneath us, watching you hiding under your sheets, waiting. This is Spooky Horror.
Hey there. Again, I want to start thanking everyone for listening, and I'm sorry for uploading the Dolls episode late. I didn't have internet for a couple days. I'm also sorry if I sound off at any moment of the episode. It's 2 a.m. and I'm just trying not to fall asleep. I'm not sure if this episode will be particularly long, but it will be quite heavy on information, I think. It did take an awful amount of hours to research and come up with a proper script for the information I'm taking in this one. Probably 5 or 6 hours just reading and resuming stuff. But it's mostly because it's such an interesting topic. However, I do have kind of bad news about this episode, since it won't feature a guest story this time. It doesn't have a main story either, but for a good reason. It has a lot of stories. This is a juicy topic. Anyway, some stuff happened this week, and by some stuff I mean nothing actually happened, except I got to watch Dr. Sleep. I'm not talking about it in this one, though, because I don't think it fits the episode, but mostly because I still don't have a concrete decision what to think about it, really. I'm also planning on doing the Furby episode soon, but I just didn't want to have it straight ahead of the Toys and Dolls episode. Instead, today's topic is a big one, because we're going to talk about doppelgangers. So what is a doppelganger? The word itself translates from German to a double goer or double walker, a double of a living person. Sometimes portrayed as a ghostly or paranormal phenomenon, and usually seen as a bearer of bad luck. Others relate doppelgangers with evil twins or twin strangers. A doppelganger may also be a spirit of sorts, taking someone's form to cause mischief. Although the term is occasionally used in a more general way to describe any lookalikes, this German word is also used for a paranormal concept of alter egos and double spirits. It has appeared in the folklore, in myths, religion, traditions, and this all throughout many cultures throughout history. It is defined as a ghostly counterpart of a living person. In traditional folklore, doppelgangers are considered ghostly apparitions or entities, sinister in nature, and sighting one is considered to be a bad omen. Doppelgangers are supposedly bearers of darkness, bad luck, and evil. Most of the time, they are viewed as an omen for a tragedy, illness, or death of the doubled person. But the idea of spiritual, ghostly, or demonic doubles of living people have existed for millennia. In ancient Egyptian mythology, Egyptian souls called Ka were a tangible spirit double, having the same memories and feelings as its counterpart. In Norse mythology, and mind me if I mispronounce this, a Vardagr is a ghostly double, who is seen performing the person's action in advance. For the Finnish, this is called having an Aitianen, or a first comer. And finally, in Brennan, Cornish, and Norman folklore, doppelgangers are a version of the Anku, which is a personification of death. However, and you probably know it by now, I'm also into the scientific explanations, so it's pretty obvious that such an ancient and common topic has been studied by neurology and psychiatry. who developed the term for this, hutoscopy, which is a word to describe the hallucination of seeing one's own body at a distance. It can occur as a symptom in schizophrenia and epilepsy, and it is considered as a possible explanation to the doppelganger phenomenon. Alright, this is all very scientific and it may explain some cases, but it still means seeing a doppelganger is definitely a terrible omen, meaning schizophrenia and seizures. Oh, by the way, criminology also had to find a practical application to the concepts of facial familiarity, all due to the wrongful convictions based on eyewitness testimony. One very particular case was a person who had spent 17 years behind bars, all this time constantly denying any involvement in the crime, until he was finally released after they found out the guilty one was someone who shared a very striking resemblance and the same first name. So how exactly can you identify a doppelganger? And I mean, it's pretty much a no-brainer, I guess. It would exactly look like you. In fact, it would essentially be you. At least, just in absolutely every way, except for the fact that it's not actually you. It's pretty confusing. But well, these doubles may be seen by others as performing exact person's actions before the real person makes them, or they can do so after the original does them. Sometimes the doppelganger sightings are a premonition for death and tragedy, but they have other paranormal qualities as well. The doppelgangers of folklore cast no shadows and have no reflection. Although there are also many reports of people seeing their own doppelganger in the mirror, either next to their actual reflection or as a distorted version of it. Which reminds me, I should do an episode on mirrors, since they're too a whole deal. Oh, and doppelgangers may also try to attempt planting sinister ideas in their victim's mind, and they may also try to interact with others acting as yourself, which I guess adds a new layer of confusion. In all cases, it's considered advisable to never interact with your doppelganger. It's thought to bring even more bad luck. Plus, you know, sci-fi has raised us on the idea of touching your double may create big trouble. This is a case, and well, unless you're Rick and Morty, I guess. And yes, I obviously know that's not to do with the topic, but they actually nail multidimensional doppelgangers. And there's this episode where they switch realities, and then they have to dig their own corpses. And it gives me the chills every time. I don't know, it's creepy, I guess. But it's different watching Rick and Morty doing it and then watching Schwarzenegger trying to survive his own clone or some thriller on the topic. I watched season 4 premiere like 2 days ago, and I kind of love that show. Plus science fiction, I also love science fiction. But let's get back to the topic. Sometimes a person's doppelganger will present itself to family members just before death comes. For instance, a son may be critically ill, and before he dies, his doppelganger will present itself to the family. The family may not be aware that this is a doppelganger, but the truth will eventually be revealed when they receive news of their relation's death taking place within days or hours. In folklore, doppelgangers have been said to remove the one that they have copied, either killing them or imprisoning them, so they can live out their lives. And I guess this is kind of similar to the teacher I gave you on Rick and Morty and sci-fi. Well, we can pretend that was planned. But let's continue. In 1845, a 32-year-old teacher called Emily Saget started working at a French language private girls' school. Pensionnat Bonne Neuilke in Latvia. Although she was a talented and well-liked teacher, she soon became the focus of rumor and speculation. The problem was there was not only one Miss Sage teaching at the school. There were actually two. Sage's double first appeared in her classroom. As she wrote on the blackboard, a second Miss Sage appeared in front of the class, mimicking the teacher's movements. Until one evening, as Sage ate in the dining hall, it appeared again, mirroring her actions once more. From that day on, the sightings became more frequent and more frightening. One hot summer of 1846, the entire student body of 42 girls was sat in the hall having a sewing lesson. As they worked, Sage picked flowers in the school's garden. When the sewing teacher left the room to speak to a colleague, Sage's double suddenly appeared and, at the front of the room, started staring straight at the frightened children. Sage never saw her double. She only knew of its presence. And witnesses said the color would drain from her face and overcome with fatigue. Her movements would become listless whenever the apparition was near. Sage was eventually fired from her job as her double terrified everybody at the school too much. But doppelgangers aren't necessarily portents of doom, as in the Sage case, they can appear without foreshadowing impending death. Some paranormal investigators claim there is more than one version of you existing at the same time, but living in alternate realities. Hence, believing the doppelganger phenomenon is caused by people suddenly gaining the ability to tap into another time to view alternate version of themselves or other people. For example, I found the story about a man who was walking along the street and saw himself walk in opposite direction. 8 years later, the same man walked past himself going the other way. Some people believe you can will yourself to make movement through this vortex, which is known as astral projection, another topic we should be talking about in later episodes. But back to science, Professor Christopher French, one of the world's leading anomalistic psychologists, defends the concept we talked about in the beginning of the episode, heautoscopy. An experience or hallucination on oneself. He cites an example from 1994, where a 21-year-old Swiss man saw his double lying in bed after a night drinking. He was being treated for seizures, but had stopped taking his anticonvulsant meds. Despite his shouts and attempts to wake it, his doppelganger refused to move. Then the two switched places. The man lying in bed was suddenly unable to move, watching his double shouting at him, and the cycle repeated itself several times until, well, this experience drove the man to jump from a fourth floor window in an attempt to find the match between body and self. While undergoing treatment for these injuries in the hospital, the man was found to have a tumor on his left temporal lobe. And once the tumor was removed, the hallucinations stopped. And I'm gonna pause this again. This reminds me of Dr. House, when this guy keeps claiming he was abducted by aliens. Which, I don't know, it was probably one of the most shocking episodes to me at the time. I guess it was because there was a lot of proof that made it seem like he was in fact a victim of abduction. But it was also a tumor, and there was an explanation for everything. Again, this is the kind of stuff that Christopher French studies, anomalistic psychology. And there's another psychologist of this kind, a man called Lee Roberts, who claims reports of doppelgangers are most common by people between 20 and 40 years old, who are, quote, healthy in body and mind. Unquote. Since this lapse in life is one of the most stressful periods in people's lives. He and Professor French, they claim missed sleep and the use of alcohol and other drugs can lead to hallucinations, as well as sleep paralysis, which is another topic we have already talked about. But if doppelgangers can be explained by tricks of the mind, then how is it possible for as many as 42 students to see Sajid's double? This guy claims it was folie à deux, which is basically a collective hallucination. But I gotta be honest, it doesn't sound likely. Sometimes science does have an answer, and I'm probably balanced in believing it more often than the paranormal. But there are some cases in which I truly don't think hallucinations did a trick. And it's very much like the cases of possession back in the day. Because, alright, most of them were actually cases of mental illness that were sadly mistaken for demonic possession. Because there wasn't enough information at the time, and everything was attributed to the supernatural. There also has been a lot of cases that truly don't make sense and that cannot be explained by what I believe were the real deal. Some topics are a lifelong debate between science and spirituality. And I guess, for now that we're talking about history, here are some cases of historical figures who reported seeing their doppelgangers before death. I'm gonna list them, and there's five of them. The first is Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. A German writer, poet, and politician, celebrated author who played a large part in shaping the field of literature, found himself riding a footpath after leaving a girl named Frederica. Suddenly, he faced a mysterious person riding towards him. The person was Goethe himself, although he was wearing different clothes. The figure soon disappeared, and he soon forgot all about it. 8 years later, he found himself riding down the same footpath in the opposite direction to see Frederica again. That's when he realized he was wearing the exact same clothes his doppelganger wore years ago. However, this was not the only doppelganger Goethe saw. Another time, he spotted a friend walking on the street, wearing Goethe's own dressing gown. Puzzled, Goethe went home, only to find his friend there, wearing the exact same clothes he had seen them on the apparition. Second story, Catherine the Great, a powerful 18th century empress of Russia. She was a powerful and dangerous figure. It is said that Catherine was one night lying in her bed when, worried, her servants knocked to her, telling they had just seen her enter the throne room. Catherine then went and found her double sitting on the throne. Catherine immediately ordered to shoot at her counterpart. Some say her double disappeared. Some say she was effectively shot. However, we know Catherine herself died soon afterwards. Number three would be Queen Elizabeth I. She was the last Tudor to rule England, and she was widely recognized as a charismatic and savvy monarch. She was the kind of person one wouldn't really believe. She was much into the paranormal, which made it scary when she claimed that she had witnessed her doppelganger. According to the Queen, her double was lying motionless on her bed, almost like a corpse laid out for presentation. The experience was particularly haunting, and it would be easy to put this down as a hallucination in the mind of an elderly, stressed-out queen. Just if it wasn't for the fact that she died soon after seeing her double self. Number four, and this is kind of a long one, Abraham Lincoln, who, we all know, was the 16th president of the United States. He was very open about his interest into the paranormal, and he had also experienced some paranormal activity. On the night of his first election, he took a moment to rest on his couch. And while lying there, he happened to glance in a mirror and saw his own head, except he had two faces. The second face, pale and ghostly, was looking at him from the mirror, right next to his own face. Spooked as anyone may be, he got up from the couch and the doppelganger disappeared. Then he sat back down, only to see it again. Lincoln was confused, but his wife Mary was downright terrified. She was convinced it was bad news, and it was a certain sign that Lincoln would be re-elected on a second term, hence the two heads, but wouldn't survive it. He repeated the couch thing and was able to spot the double once again. And that was it. And I don't know, but maybe his doppelganger did appear just to deliver its message. As we know, Lincoln indeed didn't make it through his second term. And that leaves us with the fifth one, Guy de Maupassant, a French writer from the 19th century known as the master of short stories. He lived what is perhaps the most intimate doppelganger experience on record. Toward the end of his life, he regularly interacted with his double counterpart. This eerie twin not only talked to him, but actually sat down and dictated a short story to him. And yeah, that means de Maupassant claimed one of his last stories to be literally ghost-written by his own double. But just hang in there. If that's not chilling enough, just wait. The story that was dictated to de Maupassant was The Horla, a tale of a man whose sanity is slowly consumed by an evil spirit that uses him as a host. And, like an echo to the story, de Maupassant's mental health also started deteriorating soon after. However, the apparition returned a few months later. It entered the writer's room, looking at him with a sad expression. Then, it sat down and buried its face in its hands, as if in despair. De Maupassant's life was downhill from there, since he died in an insane asylum a year later. Alright, it's time for the movie review. And I didn't have a particular old movie that was related to the topic. I thought The Sixth Day. But let's be honest, it's not a thriller, nor it's an action. It's an action movie. But for people who will say it's not that old of a movie, it was released in the year 2000. And I thought it wasn't that old, but then it hit me that it was 19 years ago. So I'm sorry to break it to you, it is kind of an old movie. However, we're not gonna talk about that one. Because, as I said, it's an action movie, not really a thriller, and it's actually about clones and not really about doppelgangers. But for people who are now curious, it's a future in which cloning animals is a deal, but cloning people is illegal. However, Arnold Schwarzenegger gets cloned and he discovers his double living his life. So he tries to get it back and, in the meantime, figure out why did they clone him, which ends up being an almighty sci-fi action thriller. And I just said I wasn't gonna talk about it. But well, I guess I did talk about it a little bit. But the real review is for yet another episode of The Twilight Zone. Now, I know we said it was a movie review. First, I just talked about the movie. Second, The Twilight Zone is a timeless masterpiece that has a major influence in both sci-fi and thrillers, and it just happens to be about every topic you can think about. Third, it is beautifully connected with the recent movie I'm going to talk about, and fourth, it is actually my show. So we're discussing the first episode, no, 21st episode of the first season of this sweet masterpiece show. It's called Mirror Image. And this episode, Mirror Image, is a 23-minute thriller of a mysterious and bone-chilling doppelganger encounter. It tells the story of Millicent Barnes, who waits in a bus stop in her way to her new job. She notices the bus is late, so she asks the ticket agent when will the bus arrive, to which the agent complains that this is the third time she's asking. Millicent denies this repeatedly, until she notices a bag just like hers in the luggage pile behind her. She mentions this to the ticket agent, who affirms it is her bag. She, however, does not believe him. That is, until she notices her bag is not beside the bench anymore. Some other stuff happens. I don't want to spoil the whole episode, but let's just say she glances in the mirror and sees, in addition to her reflection, a copy of herself sitting on the bench outside. She then meets a young man who, throughout the episode, tries to convince her it's either a joke or just a lookalike. But she insists it's an evil double from a parallel dimension, and unluckily, well, we start suspecting her sanity is beginning to unravel, and so does the man. Now, this is a gorgeous thriller. This short story develops quickly, and throughout the ending, we happen to presence a plot twist so wicked and so shocking that you can't do much but wonder and question long after the episode finished. Now, this is something I've always loved about The Twilight Zone. Not only is it a whole masterclass on how to build doubt and suspense, but also get to raise a ton of questions. And then it also delivers a plot twist so bone-chilling as the first time you watch the finale of The Planet of the Apes. But that's not it. Listen, Rod Serling, the creator of the show, admitted to have gotten the idea for Mirror Image following an encounter at an airport, in which Serling noticed a man at the other side of the terminal who wore the exact same clothes and carried the same suitcase as himself. Serling then considered what would happen if the man turned around and was revealed to be a duplicate of himself, although the man turned out to be very different from him. And by the way, something I didn't mention was that this show has had some amazing hosts and narrators. The most recent one was for the 2019 show's revival, in which we got Jordan Peele. For anyone who, whatsoever reason, doesn't immediately recognize Peele, we're talking about the writer and actor of the sketch series Key and Peele, who later switched comedy to pursue horror. And that is when the world truly stared at him, when he wrote and directed his first movie, a world-acclaimed thriller and immediate cult movie called Get Out. I'm aware you can listen to my excitement, but yeah, Get Out, the movie that broke our minds and made us scared of teacups and visiting our couples' families. The one that made history as a movie that felt so fresh in the genre that people didn't know if it belonged to comedy instead. And the rare case of a horror movie being one of the strongest competitors in the 2018 Oscars. Well, that Jordan Peele hosts the new Twilight Zone, which is important because he watched this 1960 episode that we just talked about, and he thought, huh. So let's just say that movie inspired him enough on the doppelganger topic that he had to base his highly awaited second movie on it. And I'm talking about the movie Us. So yeah, we're also reviewing Us. A movie just so creepy and mind-blowing that people left the theaters dead silent. After all the general confusion over Get Out being a comedy or a horror thriller, Peele decided to make this one full-on horror. Rolling Stone even described it as a spill-your-soda scary compared to Get Out, that they called existentially terrifying. Now, it's not very easy to compare it to Get Out, which is a good thing, but it does have plot holes, I'm afraid. However, Us is such an intriguing, thrilling experience that you cannot stop watching. It takes place in Santa Cruz, which I believe we already talked about in the case of Elisa Lam in the first episode, but it's a beach in LA. Now, it starts with a young girl visiting her parents, who then wanders off and finds a funhouse, which turns out to be a hall of mirrors. There, she spots her doppelganger. Her parents eventually find her, traumatized and mute. And then, the story takes place decades later, with the little girl all grown up and with a family. Visiting Santa Cruz again, this movie builds up for about 20 minutes to deliver one of the most shocking sequences in the whole year. When the family is hanging in their beach house and suddenly realize a family is watching the house in the dark. It's not long since they freak out the entire family, who discovers these people won't leave, and in fact that they are their doppelgangers. However, these dudes just communicate in growls and hand gestures and are all uniformed in red suits. And these doubles are all evil. Then they get inside the house, and I won't spoil much after it, but well, this is all stuff you can actually watch in the trailer. This movie is all aced in pace, in rhythm, tripping photography, a brilliant direction, and amazing performances. Starting by Lupita Nyong'o, who plays two very different opposites of the same character, and it's one of those films that leave you thinking way long after you finished it. And there's also a ton of theories about stuff that happened, possible hidden plot twists, and missed details that actually kind of change everything. It also has a lot of theories on what the movie is really all about, since it's all metaphors with Jordan Peele, and while Get Out was clearly about racism, this one has people thinking. Some say xenophobic paranoia, others claim it's the effects of classism and marginalization, with the characters mentally and physically trapped and ignored, plus the duality of society. And this movie is also all about influences and allusions to The Shining, Jaws, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and The Goonies. Jordan Peele also claims, and I quote, "Everything in this movie was deliberate, unless you didn't like something, in which case it was an accident." Unquote. Love it or hate it, it's a must watch and a nerve breaker. And I promise you won't see rabbits the same way again. And well, that's all for today's show. Stay tuned for the next one, and please remember that this is all done for free. So if you would like to support improving the audio quality, you can donate to the Spooky Horror Podcast Kickstarter campaign starting on $1. And that you can send your stories and suggestions via email at thespookyhorror@gmail.com. You can also follow The Spooky Horror on social media, which would be Instagram and Twitter. And please follow, subscribe, and rate, share, or whatever thing you can do to support in the platform you're listening to this podcast. And remember, next time that someone tells you they saw someone exactly like you, beware. Because maybe, just maybe, it's not as innocent as it seems.
This was an insight into a mysterious land, and the stories about those in the corner of your eye, haunting you. You've just listened.